Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Fall, my co-host, and today we'll have a special treat.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent and reporter.
But Kimmy's confused.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Fall, my co-host. Desiree is on assignment. This is podcast number 59, June 24th, 2006. Steve?
This F1 Weekly podcast is brought to you by Speed Gear Authentic Racewear. Speed Gear has the best selection from the top teams and drivers in Formula One. Hats, shirts, sunglasses, diecast, and much more. Look to Speed Gear for your favorite team and driver apparel and collectibles. Speed Gear Authentic Racewear. Just click on the icon on our homepage. You know you want to.
Keep up the good work, Steven, and thank you, Speed Gear. There you have it. There you go. On this day in Formula One history, June 24th, 1911, Juan Manuel Fangio was born. Five-time world champion for Formula One.
One of the the fathers of F1 race drivers who basically kind of wrote the book on being.
Exactly. There you have it. Juan Manuel Fangio, born today in 1911. There you have it, and there you go. Canadian Grand Prix qualifying. Juan Manuel is...
Yeah, he's not racing anymore, Clark.
Excuse me. Fernando Alonso, bravo, 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 submits that after practice on Friday, Ferrari is sandbagging and not really showing their true form. Steve?
That must be not very good, because if they're holding back in qualifying, that doesn't make a lot of sense.
Well, anyway, they're not holding back in qualifying. I was talking about practice, but Fernando says they're holding back, and sure enough, we go to qualifying, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. They end up 5th and 10th.
And 10th.
What is the scenario?
Yeah, John Todt cannot be happy about Massa's performance in qualifying.
Well, today, John Todt decided to go, you know, for the saucisson, un peu pâté, and a nice good red wine, because there's no sense stressing over this crap anymore.
Now, do you think... that they went out heavy on fuel, they're going to try to go long run on the start?
No. I think they're slow. They suck. Ferrari has no chance. They got paranoid, basically. This is my deal. Charlie Whiting comes out a week ago saying the flexi wings are over with. Everybody runs to their machine shop, tells the boys, do this now.
Whip one up for us.
Whip one up for us. Stop the flexing. Because you certainly don't want to be disqualified as Williams was in Scooby-Doo.
I don't remember that.
Williams was disqualified for having oversized brake ducts.
I remember that.
Last year. There you have it. Everybody got a little paranoid. No, it was not overextensive paranoia by any stretch of the imagination, but if you saw the pictures of the wings, people did get a little concerned. Let's not forget, last year, Canada, we had Jenson Button on pole, Michael Schumacher second, Fernando Alonso third. And what happened? Both Renaults passed them while they were eating cheeseburgers, practically. It was ridiculous, and I'm sorry. They're on the front row. They deserve to be on the front row. The Ferraris are not performing. I think the flexi wing is...
I don't know that it's that much. They were only saying it was only like, what, 5 kph? worth the performance.
No, that's what they say. But obviously, what happened?
They didn't perform well.
They did not perform well.
That could be the tires.
Kimi Raikkonen was really, really doing well. I was hoping Rubens Barrichello would do better. But let's go with the qualifying. Steve?
In the first round, we have the usual suspects getting knocked out, as is typical with the two Aguris, the two MF1s, and one STR. And actually, the real surprise in the first round was Mark Webber not making it
to the second round, and Liuzzi making it to the second round.
Oh, definitely. Well,
Scott Speed had another issue. No, he got
knocked out too. Yeah.
He got knocked out, and there was an issue with Scott Speed. I'm not sure what it was.
I believe it was traffic. That was I believe what I heard on the.
And believe it or not, Mark Webber blamed
Nico Rosberg for holding him up.
Good morning, Mrs. America. I mean, come on.
Just run him down.
No, to be honest with you, I think you should have enough chutzpah. You should never blame a teammate for slowing you down in qualifying.
You should just basically say,
because really, it's a team effort. The engineers are out there telling you what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. And my God, if Nico Rosberg slowed Mark Webber down, he should blame his team, not Nico.
True. Because the team should be able to tell Nico.
Because they're handling the whole situation. Also, let's not forget Jack Villeneuve's got a new single out. Will You Accept Me? I think the translation goes. And by all means, it's a great song. I think everybody should download it. Pay your 99 cents at iTunes and get that song now. Because you know what? It's going to be such a bomb. It's going to be hard to find and it'll be vintage. By 3 weeks time. Other than that, I just say it as we go on into the season. It's becoming very, very predictable.
It's starting to get there. But the performance of the Renaults has just been phenomenal. It's like, have they been running V8s for the last 5 years?
I don't know.
Their performance, their engines, performance,
absolutely unbelievable.
Reliability. The whole nine
absolutely
yards.
Unbelievable. Fernando Alonso on Friday said that the Ferrari team was sandbagging because they came in at 15th, I believe, in practice. And Fernando was convinced that Ferrari is still the challenger. Yet, there you have it. Today, during qualifying, they certainly were not the challenger. They came in 5th, top position, and 10th. Felipe Massa fighting for his job, basically. And I believe that there's going to be some shakeups, as we see at Honda. Now, the other big news over the weekend is Nick Frye trying to convince Jeff Willis to not leave the Honda team. Jeff Willis
on gardening leave.
How insulting can you be? But no, Jeff Willis, I don't believe he'll come back. I mean, there's a certain amount of pride and integrity involved in this. And even though Nick Frye is saying, please, Jeff, come on, baby, stay with Papito. It ain't going to happen.
Not after the demotion that he took.
No. And Rubens Barrichello was in complete shock. The whole team is in complete shock.
Button was supposedly very close.
Jenson Button was very close to Mr. Willis. And in all, I believe this is going to have an effect on the team. The team is nowhere for 2006. I think they should just scrap everything for this year and move on and work under the 2007 chassis, which I believe that's what they're trying to do. Now, let's not forget, Renault, very, very astute team in terms of development, have signed Giancarlo Fisichella. I think that now he is placed at number one. No more secrets will be given to Fernando Alonso, and Fernando Alonso will be slowly, slowly, slowly moved into the green room. The green room, respectively, is also known as the secret room, where you hear no secrets, tell no secrets.
Code of silence?
Exactly. He's going to McLaren next year, and now, halfway through the season, the earmuffs are on.
Yeah, but how many of the truly technical details do they share with the drivers?
You'd be surprised. It depends on the drivers. Some drivers are very astute in picking up on technical details. don't get me wrong, some of them are absolutely dumb.
Complete jock mentality.
There are complete jock mentalities out there today, and I will not divulge any information towards any specific driver. But let me tell you, you're a world champion, you're about to win the second world champion, and there's no doubt. I mean, Ferrari, I think, will challenge and will continue to challenge. And with...
It's going to take some pretty dramatic happenings for the Renaults not to get to that point.
And that's possible. I mean, DNFs are possible. I mean, somebody could leave a wrench in a piston cylinder, but it ain't going to happen.
Or get taken out by a Super Aguri or something.
Exactly. But I just don't see that happening. Fernando is very strong. He's already talking about the defense, defending his points.
Lead,
and when you're on pole, when your nearest challenger is fifth, defending is not that hard.
No. When you start from the front, it's very much easier to stay in the front.
There you have it. There you go. I believe that Fernando is on a roll, and McLaren is awkwardly giggling in the bathroom.
Well, I think McLaren may be seeing a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel. Their car has been a little bit quicker the last 2 weeks. They're not anywhere near the performance of the Renaults, but they're actually showing a bit better pace than
exactly. Cars. I think Fernando Alonso is happy. I mean, that's the irony of it all, is Fernando Alonso is giggling at the fact that Kimi Raikkonen is third on the grid.
Yep.
Because that makes him happy.
Yeah, he wants to see that car close.
Absolutely. And on the other hand, let's go back to the silly season. 2006 silly season started, of course, when Fernando announced that he was going to the dark side. Yes, I do mean the dark side, the evil empire. Just kidding. McLaren's not that evil. I like them. But, I mean, come on. The silly season started then, and I think the signing of Giancarlo Fisichella last week really helped everyone sigh a breath of relief.
Well, it definitely settles things down in the Renault
camp. It does settle things down, but for God's sakes, Ferrari needs to make an announcement. McLaren has made some subliminal announcements indicating that it's very possible that Lewis Hamilton will be in the seat next to Fernando Alonso. But what happens to Gary Paffett? Gary Paffett was the talk of the town at the beginning of the season. Lewis Hamilton kicks the butte in GP2, wins a couple of races, and all of a sudden, Gary Paffett,
he suddenly becomes the next coming of Jack.
He's an unknown! I don't know. I find that very interesting. I have to admit, Bernie Ecclestone is rooting for Gary Paffett. I think Lewis Hamilton is a good driver. I think we're jumping the gun here when we say he's ready to go and ready to go neck to neck with Fernando Alonso. Also, in the news, Bernie Ecclestone, my God, what's happened to that man? I mean, he's just potty mouth every day, knocking the United States of America. We're worthless. We don't contribute to the Formula One, period.
Huh. That's funny.
What's
how many of the sponsors on these cars are American-based companies?
Not only that, I mean, come on. He's saying we don't contribute nothing. We're worthless people. Our only problem is, you know, cigarettes and maybe Iraq. Bernie, take it easy, all right? You're smoking weed every day. I don't know what's going on, but I don't like it. America is super important. Most of the team principals are asking for a second United States Grand Prix. Don't forget, in the old days, there were times when we had three U.S. Grand Prix in the United States of America. The United States of America is huge for Toyota, Mercedes-Benz, BMW, and Honda. Obviously, Renault, not big in the United States, but in terms of Nissan, which is owned by the... What?
By Renault.
Yes, they're owned by Renault. A lot of people don't understand that. Ladies and gentlemen, the United States Grand Prix is the most important Formula One race in terms of sales, in terms of promotion, in terms of sales, in terms of promotions. People are absolutely wacko if they believe Bernie. Bernie, you're smoking weed. You need to get some help.
Is he trying to leverage with...
Obviously. He's trying to leverage with Tony George, and Tony George is not going to eat this up. No. He's seen it so many times before.
Exactly.
So the whole thing is really annoying. All I've got to say is I certainly hope that United States Grand Prix comes back to Indianapolis for 2007, and a lot of the team owners and principals are calling for a second United States Grand Prix. Either Las Vegas, San Francisco, Watkins Glen, Laguna Seca. Let's go, let's go, let's go.
Even Miami is really something. South Florida would be really happy, would make them very happy too. But if you really want to know about the history of F1 in the United States, we're having a special podcast.
On Tuesday,
while Clark and I are traveling to the United States.
Exactly. Prix. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to check how smart you think you are in terms of how many United States Grand Prix there have been, where have they been, who won these races, you better stay tuned because I was wrong, wrong, wrong. I know nothing about nothing.
And Ezra Hemmings put together an hour-long podcast with just the history of Formula One in the United States.
Let me put it out there right now. Send me an email. The first email that answers this question correctly, they will get a free calendar. Who won the first United States Grand Prix and where was it staged? Thank you very much, Stephen. I'm feeling good all over.
All over.
Yep.
Back to qualifying.
Back to qualifying? Boy, you know, it was a pretty good qualifying, I have to admit. Let's go to part two.
Part two. Second round.
What's going on,
Stephen? Another couple big names dropping up. Not really expecting to see both. BMWs don't make it to the final round.
Jacques Villeneuve really gave it his best shot.
Yep. He was
his mom was there in the paddock.
Yep. And he just missed out by like less than that, like 15 tenths of a second.
Yep.
Neither BMW's making it to the final round. A little bit of a surprise. They've been pretty consistent about making it to the end.
That's true. But their straight line speed just couldn't cut the mustard.
Yep. Christian Kleen in the other RBR route. Ralf Schumacher's out. Qualifying in 14th, just barely.
Which is really weird. I'm sorry. Let me stop Steve right there. Ralf Schumacher's out, but Yarno truly ends where? Pardonnez-moi.
Fourth.
He beats Michael Schumacher in the top. What's going on?
Yeah. And these guys are so oddly inconsistent. It's like, wait a minute. What is he taking a nap?
No, the irony
too
of it
all.
Too
much pasta?
Truly. I don't think it's certainly not fighting for his seat, but truly does have great qualifying skills.
Yes. Well, truly he's not fighting for his seat because he's been re-signed.
Exactly. So there you have it, and there you go. Unbelievable. Truly, truly kicking butt.
And then the other surprise, David Coulthard, qualifying 16th.
I don't know what happened there.
Yeah, that is just weird. He just not a good run. Even more than 0.2 behind Vitantonio. So maybe the Cosworth, the V10 is getting a little bit better straight line speed. Maybe,
I don't know.
You know, Mark Webber's just a little bit distracted. Who knows?
Well, Mark Webber blamed Nico Rosberg for slowing him up. I mean, which was really bizarre. I mean, come on. If the team can't get you guys out there with enough space where that kind of blame game doesn't ever come under play.
Nico must have been driving a really big car today.
I don't know.
You know,
it must have been really like
all
a
the
old,
people he's hanging out
like a 58 Cadillac.
Exactly.
No, there were some odd. I mean, I don't like to see quality drivers starting to blame other drivers because I have a lot of respect for Mark Webber. He's a good man. He's very quick. And don't blame your teammate for slowing you down. And
no,
even if it happened, you don't want to do it.
No. What about Coulthard? Was Coulthard hung up by a...
I don't think so. Coulthard's got issues.
Okay. On to the final session.
The final session was very interesting.
It was actually a lot more entertaining, I think, today than it has been the last couple weeks. Especially considering Fernando stuck...
He had a fast lap right off the top.
Exactly. He put his...
He said, "Good morning, Mrs. Calabash. I'm doing this now.
Exactly. Here's how fast we're going and see if you can catch
me. Yeah, exactly. And it was very intriguing. Fisichella really kept nibbling at Fisichella's time. So did Michael Schumacher, but things started changing really quickly.
Yeah, the Ferraris made their pit stop significantly earlier.
Around eight minutes.
Around 8 minutes.
Right under 8 minutes.
Which is a bit odd because they're usually
been coming at about six. But they came back again.
Yeah, they came back again for another one. So maybe, who knows what they were trying to do. But then the last couple seconds look really good. Raikkonen sticks a fast lap, gets second, gets P2, you know, and gets under the wire to get another hot lap in. So you're like going, oh, great. And then here comes Alonso. He crosses the line just slightly slower than his last time. And then here comes Giancarlo a few seconds later, sneaking in and snatching P2. Ooh, pretty sweet. And then Trulli sneaks in, gets, I think he got P3, and then Kimi came back around and got back into P3.
Bump Trulli. Schumacher bumps Trulli. I have to admit, though, the Renaults are looking sweet. Now, I know everybody knows that I'm a Renault guy. I'm wearing my Renault hat. I'm driving a Renault car. I don't care. These people have done a phenomenal job in kicking the bouteille.
Definitely. They're at least or as strong as the Ferraris were when they were dominating.
Yes, exactly. Fernando is not only a great driver, but he's a great driver. Yeah, I know that sounds ridiculous, but it's true.
He's definitely, you know, I think that he has a chance to win, you know,
He's going to win the championship. And we're halfway through the season. He is going to be the dominant one. And it's funny because Canada and the United States Grand Prix are Renault's weak points in terms of straight line speed. But with the annihilation of the flexi wing, all of a sudden, everything is wonderful.
Right.
So I believe that actually this is going to affect a number of teams, including Honda. They will do better. Honda was going to improve.
Both Hondas made it to the final round. And I think this is the first time in two or three races.
Thank you very much.
That they've gotten both cars into the final.
Thank you very much.
Final session.
But the whole deal is there is no catching Fernando. I am sorry. I know there are a lot of Ferrari fans out there, Honda fans, Williams fans, Jacques Villeneuve fans. Ladies and gentlemen, make yourself a sandwich. Lots of mayo. But you want to put a few jalapenos in there to burn your mouth because it's not going to happen. This season is going to Fernando. Yes, my co-host is freaking out because I'm talking in a strange and wonderful world. But I'm telling you right now, Fernando is the hombre. España is winning in the World Cup. As a matter of fact, the biggest deal is España has to go against France in the next World Cup. Today, we just watched Argentina against Mexico. Pobrecito. Mexico is out. Argentina, a 1-2 in overtime. Wonderful. Great team. Great, great game. Mexico did really, really well, but not good enough.
They congratulate the Germans?
No. But there you have it. Ladies and gentlemen, the World Cup is dominating everything. I have to admit, we have gotten no emails practically, except for people talking about my good looks and complexion. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to remind everybody that F1 Weekly will be going to the United States Grand Prix. Whew, what? We fly out Wednesday night, the red eye, huh?
Red
eye. Boy, there's nothing like a red eye to wake you up in the morning.
Yep. You get down on the ground in Indianapolis just in time to get over to the paddock walk.
Yep. Grab a couple of Burger King coffees. Whew! Man, it's just weak enough to wash your face.
Yeah. Wake you up. Get you started.
Yep. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to give you the best of what we can. Give me some emails. Send me some emails. Email me.
And then we're going to do the first podcast, do our normal midweek podcast from Indianapolis on Thursday. So our schedule this next week is a little bit
in disarray.
Yeah, we'll mention this again tomorrow's race cast.
And don't forget, check out the Tuesday special historical podcast, United States Grand Prix. I bet you none of you know this stuff.
I didn't know. Probably know. I knew bits and pieces of it because of, you know, growing up in the United States. But, you know, half the stuff I'm like going,
first Grand Prix, Phoenix? Second Grand Prix, third Grand Prix will blow your minds. Nobody knows this stuff because nobody's supposed to know this stuff. Don't blame yourself.
Bernie obviously doesn't know this stuff.
Bernie knows nothing. But let me just give you a hint. For a while, the United States had 3 Grand Prix a year.
And for a large number of years, it was always 2. There was an East and a West.
There was always an East and a West. It was considered standard procedure. Ladies and gentlemen, email Bernie. We want more Grand Prix in America. So there you have it, and there you go. Thank you very much. Steven, you got anything else?
No, I think we're pretty good. Let me run down the finish order the top 10 starting grid for tomorrow's race.
Give us the top 10.
Number 1, Fernando Alonso. P2, Giancarlo Fisichella. P3, Kimi Raikkonen. P4, Yarno Trulli. Bit of a surprise there. P5, Michael Schumacher. P6, Nico Rosberg.
Nico! Andale, hombre!
P9, Rubens Barrichello. P8, Jenson Button.
That's right.
Oh, wait a minute. P7, Juan Pablo Montoya. P8, Jenson Button. P9,
Rubens Barrichello.
And then P10, Felipe Massa.
Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you, Massa is fighting for he's fighting for his red Ferrari underwear that he gets to wear every day.
Yes.
I mean, if you don't do well, they take your Ferrari underwear away.
So if the race with no pants?
I'm just telling you right now, that stuff goes. They don't mess around in Maranello. So Felipe Massa, I feel sorry for him.
And this is more of his kind of track because it's a straight line. It's a straight line fast track. It's not like Monte Carlo where you actually have to drive.
Okay, you want me to be mean, don't you, Steven?
No.
Felipe Massa is not a great driver. I don't care what kind of track you give him.
So he's a good driver?
He's a stinky driver.
Well, Nico's going to have that seat next.
Nico is kicking butt!
Yes, he is. And you got to give the kid some credit. He's never raced on this track.
Thank you very much.
They didn't let him go out and practice.
Felipe Massa always comes up with some excuse. Oh, I don't like this. Oh, the wall is too close. Oh, my panties are too tight.
Oh, my flexi wing is gone.
You know what? Knock it off. He's out. He's not driving for Ferrari next year. It'll definitely be Michael Schumacher and Robert Kubica.
Maybe Flavio would loan him
Heikki Kovalainen, ladies and gentlemen. There's a lot of stuff happening out there, and I know it's too much for everyone. But Kimi Raikkonen is driving for Renault next year. Heikki Kovalainen is driving for...
Ferrari?
No. I have no clue.
No, he might end up in a Red Bull if they make the engine
deal. I don't know. All I know is Red Bull's trying to get Renault engines. If Renault engines are granted to a Red Bull, then it means only one thing. Heikki Kovalainen has to drive one of those Red Bulls. That means David Coulthard is out of a job. Juan Pablo Montoya is out of a job. Christian Kleen is out of a job. It's all over the place.
So who's going to drive the second Red Bull if Heikki's
in? I don't know.
Antonio Luizzi?
He's doing okay.
And he's doing quite well.
No, I don't know. It's all over the place.
Well, supposedly Ferrari's announcing they're going to announce their driver lineup at the Italian Grand Prix. We'll see if that comes to fruition because they were supposed to announce it at the last Italian Grand Prix.
Exactly. So. And I mean, this silly season thing has gotten completely out of control. All I know is Fisichella is driving for Renault next year. That I am certain of.
And Alonso's driving for McLaren.
Exactly. We know that for sure.
Yeah, that's about all we know for certain.
And I think Kimi Raikkonen will drive for Renault next year. But I'm just kidding. I don't know.
Yeah, that would be an interesting
driver swap. I hope so. I want excitement. Yeah. I don't want mundane crapola.
Well, that could easily be a good fight because we know how good Alonso
exactly. is. Exactly. I want to see a fight against Kimi and Fernando. El hombre muy macho de España. Yeah. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. I think we're wrapping it up now.
Yes.
Thank you.
Just to make a quick one.
Okay, there you go. Thank you very much. I want to thank mytriviapodcast.com. Keep up the good work, Will. MeccaOfSpeed.com. Turn right, you wanker. Also, I want to thank my mom and my dad, because without them, I'd be nothing. Nothing but a piece of junk. What else, Steven?
That should do it for tonight. We'll get more in tomorrow.
There you have it. We're getting ready for Indianapolis. We're packing. We're packing. We're packing. We're smacking.
Good night, Clark.
Off we go to Indianapolis. Wonder why. Good night, Steve.
This is Desiree for F1Weekly.com, thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, recording and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport, a blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.
Now, Webber's going for it. It was a valiant effort, but with 10 laps remaining, Webber is up to third. Behind Fernando.